Roger DeCosta, Makita Suzuki team manager for one more week. How does that feel?
It feels kind of strange, you know. It feels strange and somewhat sad. It's I feel almost like I'm going through a divorce or something, you know. It's I've been with them so long and we had so much history together, and unfortunately we could not agree, you know. I wanted a long-term, a multi-year agreement, and somebody in Japan had decided that there could not be any commitment made for longer than the end of next season, mm-hmm. next year. And I wanted more than that. I feel that I need that to be able to do my job good. I also understand the facts of the economy and all that. And they made some plans and they want to stick to it. And, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's the way it is. And
Now you've got an offer from KTM. You're going to go over there and try to work with that program. Do you think it's a case that Suzuki maybe thought you wouldn't leave, and then now you turned around and said, "Hey, I'm going to go where I'm wanted for 3 years"? How did the KTM thing come together?
Well, I have been friends with Sel, you all know, for many years, from dating back from when he was working for Michael in Europe in the mid '70s, and you know, they always kind of had a you know, one, the desire for me to come there, and but neither him or I took it serious, you know. Mm-hmm. We were just friends and then did our job on each side, and then when I started seeing that this thing was not coming together, it was only like, for my first contact was only like just before Southwick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Then when I got back to him and I told him, hey, you know, maybe this thing is not going to come together. Mm-hmm. Is there still an interest there for me? Because I'm looking for a 3-year deal, and, you know, and I don't seem to be able to get it. Can you check? And the next day I had a phone call from the main guy of the factory, you know, and it was like, you know, you say what you want and, you know, we'll do it.
Yeah.
It was not a situation of money. It was just the term of the contract that was, you know, what I wanted. And I thought that they would come back, and, you know, after I told them that I was not interested in 1 year, I thought that they would come back, and after a week, they still had not come back. So I made a commitment.
Right.
After I made the commitment, then they started talking about, you know, then it started coming from Japan and all that. Mm-hmm. But I'd been trying to, you know, to get this thing going already months ago. And, you know, I was not getting anywhere. And it seemed to be that to get what I wanted, and it's not just for myself, I think I needed this multi-year to be able to deal properly with sponsors and riders. And but in order to get it, it seemed to that I had to quit first.
Right.
And, you know, and with the economy the way it is and all that, I did not think I could afford to just say no and then sit around for months.
Yeah.
You know, and when I had, you know, this a small industry, there's basically five factories.
Right.
And
four now. With the Yamaha.
Yeah, that's true. You know, no in-house team with Yamaha anymore. So, I want and still need to work for 2 or 3 years, and mm-hmm. you know, so the opportunity with KTM was real, and it was what attracted me also to them is that how quick they responded to me, and that there's not all these in-between people,
right.
And I can feel that there's a desire that they want to do better. Mm-hmm. And the economy is the same for them also. And they're in the same recession as everybody else. But I still think that we need to think positive and think that it's going to turn around and believe in it and do our work. And if you do good, you know, there's always going to be some market, I believe, and things are going to turn around sooner or later.
Right. Obviously, your record at Suzuki speaks for yourself. I'm sure they all wanted to keep you. If everything was level, do you blame the economy on the desire from Suzuki to not match it? Or, I mean, because we all know Suzuki's taken a hit in recent years. Is it really just the economy? It can't possibly be that they didn't think you did a good job, right?
No, it's a result, an indirect result of the economy, but it's also, I feel, a result of the very upper management in Japan not be aware of what's going on the field. Mm-hmm. I think they're disconnected, and otherwise I don't think they would have made this kind of decision.
How did Ryan take it?
That was a tough one. I tell you, the two people that it was toughest for me to face and tell is Ryan, number one, and two, my friend Gubos in Europe, Sylvan. You know, we have been very good friends since the 70s, and he's a real quality person, and he's always been supportive of me, and we worked well together, you know, on trying to improve both sides. Mm-hmm. We exchange information on a weekly basis, and he's really a good guy, and what by me quitting, it really hurts his team also.
Right.
And you know, I feel bad for him because he was actually trying to help me to keep this thing going, but Japan also did not respond to his inquiries.
And Ryan obviously was upset.
Yeah, he's bummed out. You know, I did not want to affect this championship, so I waited until he won the title in Southwick before I told him, and it's kind of a bummer. But I did not want him to find out for somebody else. I wanted him to be the first person that I told, and so I waited until he won, and then I told him that night. And it's kind of a bummer. We should be celebrating.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he gets the bad news, and he is the guy that is probably the most loyal rider, mm-hmm. and his team manager defaults on him, you know.
Right. Looking forward at KTM, when do you start there, and what's your first impressions of the team over here in America?
I'm supposed to start the beginning of October, mm-hmm. and I think it's obvious that KTM is being active and trying to and they're working hard to improve their results, and they succeeded, you know, in Europe by winning both world championships. Mm-hmm. And what I like also with KTM is that they seem to be listening to the customer on what the customer want and try to build what they want. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still building two stroke, which there's quite a group of people that like to keep two strokes alive, mm-hmm. and for a long time people have been wanting electric starters. They build electric starters, and now when Stefan came, they went to a link suspension, and mm-hmm. so you can see there is a desire to get better and to go forward.
Mm-hmm. And then obviously it's way too early to talk about riders for next year. I mean, I guess they got Marvin Musquin coming over for sure. Roczen apparently has been signed over there for maybe do some U.S. Supercross, but is it too early to think about that?
Yeah, I you know, Roczen was supposed to come over here on Suzuki next mm-hmm. year and just for West Coast Supercross, but then I have had a relationship with Roczen already for several years, mm-hmm. He was counting on me also to be here, and so that had an effect on his choice also, and that's the thing that bothers me with Sylvan also, you know, because he loses his style rider because of
politics.
me leaving, yeah.
Right.
And I've not, you know, like I said, I've not even been at KTM's office or anything like mm-hmm. that. I only have spoken with KTM Austria, and I will have to see what's waiting there for me. Yeah.
I got a feeling that KTM is going to be a more maybe proactive company, like you said, like you're going to get results and what you want faster.
That's what I hope, and that seems to be possible. You know, there's it's more direct, more connected, mm-hmm. direct, and as you know, the off-road line is the most important line to them. As with the Japanese, the off-road is secondary to road bikes. Mm-hmm. So they cannot pull out of motocross or off-road, yeah. because that's their core business.
And obviously, this question's been asked you. You got Mike Alessi again next year. He comes with the Mike Alessi stuff, let's say. But he's been struggling this year. He's not the rider that he was when you had him. What do you think about his struggles this season and just having him back on your team?
You know, I already told KTM, you know, with Alessi, because that was one of the questions, you know, I will give it my 100% effort to give him the support he wants. Mm-hmm. And I think I was able to help him a little bit when he was with us before. Mm-hmm. And I think I can help him again, you know. Yeah. And I just hope that Mike is willing and can take more his own decisions. And he's dead, you know, we all know he's dead. His dad is, you know, I've had my struggles with him, and so have a lot of other teams. But I think if we can channel his energy in the right direction and in the right areas, the one thing that Tony is, he's not lazy, you know, he's a hard worker. He's just that I think he's like he's trying too hard to control the situation, to try to give his kid the advantage, and I think it would work out better if he left Mike more his own decision making,
right.
and be more in the background. You know, he does a great job with helping you with practice facility and all that stuff, and there's so much other work to do on to support the rider that. I think he can stay really busy and let Mike become more his own person.
What do you, when you watch him, you watched him practice, you had him over here. When you watch him this year, what's wrong with him? What's going on? Do you think in your, you know, from the fence? What do you think?
I think a lot of it is in the head. You know, a lot of it is in how he thinks, and he thinks he's at an handicap. And he has not had the good stats that he normally had, and the stat is really always been a big factor for him, and bigger than he needs to be. You know, if you're in the stat, if you're in the top 5-6 guys, it's fine. You know, you don't need a whole shot every week. Mm-hmm. But he needs to believe that he as a rider, not, you know. Right. You know, the guy is fit, he works hard and all that, so he should be doing better than he's done this year.
Right. What are you most proud of your 15 years? Is it 16? 15 years at Suzuki. What
no,
are you
16? You're
16.
Right.
16. Yeah, what are you most proud of here?
In general, it's to be able to have been able to turn around the team and to create a team that became you know, the team to look up to, and without spending more money than other teams, mm-hmm. we are able to make it, you know, basically the winningest team in recent years, and I'm just feel bad it did not happen quicker, but you know, there was a lot of roadblocks in the beginning, mm-hmm. but finally we were able to do it, and I'm also really happy to be able to have given the support and the direction to Ryan, coming from you know, from an intermediate class amateur into the first guy to win Bolt,
right.
as a rookie, and he has become, like, you know, the most solid rider now.
Mm-hmm. Besides not hiring Mike LaRocco Sr., is there one do-over you wish you had at Suzuki here, like one rider you had another chance with or another shot at or didn't make it?
Well, with Jeremy, you know, we should have been winning with Jeremy, and it was actually a kind of a little bit similar situation. When Jeremy came to us, we were still on conventional mm-hmm. forks, and they had some real positives, but there was also some real negatives on that fork. And the factory in Showa also at the time, they really believed in that fork and they wanted to stay with it. Mm-hmm. And so it was hard to turn it around and to tell them we needed the other ones, and that was a tough thing. And then Jeremy made some mistakes also off the track and on the track that year. I think when his thing fell apart with where he was, mm-hmm. he for a while there he was not completely focused, I think.
Yeah.
And then he had that injury where he cut his heel and at the party
at
and
the
all
restaurant.
That. Yeah. that handicapped us a little bit too.
Right.
So there was a little bit of fault from him and a little bit of fault from us. We were not quite as prepared as we needed to be. And I think I could have kept Jeremy another year and then we would have been ready to win. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, our people were too slow to react. And I'd been telling him, by middle of Supercross, we need to make a commitment to Jeremy and we need to make the promises mm-hmm. and keep, of course, the promise that we're going to do certain things to the bike.
Yeah.
And we did those things to the bike and the bike became, our two-stroke became really good then later on. But Jeremy had made up his mind, mm-hmm. by the time I got the response from Japan, mm-hmm. He was still with us, but he had made up his mind.
Right.
So it would have been cool if we could have won with Jeremy because it would have been several years early.
Right. Cool. Well, thank you. Good luck at KTM. I guess you're sad to see these guys go around here.
Yeah, it is sad, and I am still thankful to Suzuki. They gave me a chance to win my world championships, and they gave me the chance in the beginning, mm-hmm. and we had many years. Good years together, won 5 world championships, 4 Trans AMAs, many the nations and many nationals in Europe and all that. And I had an awesome racing career with them, and also they've given me a job for 16 years,
right.
So I'm thankful for that. And I think I have delivered on for what they put in me, and it's just one of those things, this. They
yep.
say good things, an end to everything and all good things. And,
yeah.
And I wish them good luck, and I hope that they're going to fight back, that, they're not going to just lay down. And I don't think they will, based on what some of the engineers I work with are already joking that...
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. that they're going to give me a beating, but
right.
I told them maybe for 1 year, but no more.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.